1029, Luke chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 40, right at the top of the page, the first line of page 1029, Luke chapter 2. The child, of course, is Jesus that we're going to read about. And it says, "And the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you.' 'Why were you searching for me?' he asked. 'Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?' But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men." I'll hand over to Mark in just a second. Just going to pray for the children as they leave and also for the grown-ups as they stay. Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you that it is clear. Thank you that it is honest, it is open, it is trustworthy, it is true. Lord, thank you that it teaches us about you. It teaches us about ourselves. Lord, we pray for the young people as they have a lesson and time together in the back hall. We pray that they will learn to love you as much as you love them. And Lord, we pray for the grown-ups as well, that they may be built up in their faith today. Bless Mark as he preaches. Lord, may he maybe inadvertently speak such truth into people's hearts. Lord, please open adults' hearts to you as well as the children's. May we be malleable and mouldable as you want us to be. May we be listening to you and responsive and obedient to the words that we hear today. So Lord, bless the rest of this meeting, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to see you all here this morning. I'm very conscious that we have a number of people that are really quite unwell and have been unwell for some time. Emma in particular has been unwell now with a high temperature for some weeks, and of course David and Sylvia, as you know, are in hospital. I could easily mention other names, but let's endeavour to pray for one another at this time. Let's make sure that such folk are mentioned in our midweek group so that we're able to pray for them, and let's encourage one another to keep on looking to the Lord Jesus. It's his strength, it's his grace, isn't it, that we need when times are difficult. Let me pray again, and then we'll look into God's word together. Lord, we do thank you that we can come before you in prayer. It's such a wonderful privilege. And we thank you for your goodness to us in many ways. Even during the difficult times, you are good, you are faithful. And we've mentioned some folk just now that are unwell. We pray for them and their loved ones who seek to care for them and take on additional responsibilities. Oh Lord, help us all to keep our eyes fixed upon you, because you are the one who is able to encourage us and give us grace during our time of need. Well, we commit now our time of learning, our time of study to you. Help us all, we pray, to receive the food that you would give to us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a long while ago now, but some of you will remember the illustration that I gave at the beginning of the series on John's Gospel. I talked about how that Jesus can be likened to a beautiful flower. And that as we study John's Gospel, we would effectively be like buzzing bees, looking at this glorious flower from all different sorts of angles. John's Gospel is really the Gospel of the Lord Jesus according to John. It's all about Jesus. And Luke's Gospel is all about Jesus. And as I said last Sunday, every chapter tells us something wonderful or new about the Son of God. That helps to establish us in the Christian faith. Because the Christian faith is all about Jesus. It centers upon this wonderful, beautiful, glorious person. Now, little is said in the Gospels about Jesus and his early years. And that is what makes this passage that we are looking at this morning so wonderful. We learn here about the boy Jesus. Of course, there are lots of stories told about the boy Jesus in some of the apocryphal writings, but I think we do need to be wary of those stories. We're told that at the age of 5, Jesus made some models of 12 sparrows out of clay, clapped his hands, and they all came alive and flew away. Well, I would be very sceptical of such a story for the simple reason that we are told in John's Gospel that the first miraculous sign that Jesus performed was turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana. So we learn very little, really, in the Scriptures about Jesus' early days. But here we're given some insight. So let's have our Bibles open at Luke and chapter 2. We're looking at verses 40 through to the end of the chapter. I want to highlight three things about the boy Jesus. I want to talk about his growth, his awareness, and his favour. Growth, awareness, favour. Let's firstly talk about his growth. Last week we talked about Mary and Joseph taking Jesus to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. But after that happened, we read that he grew. Verse 40, and the child grew and became strong. He grew physically. And the child grew and became strong. He came into this world and was born a helpless baby. But he, in time, grew like any other Jewish boy and became strong. And I guess that he needed to become strong so that he was able to assist Joseph in the carpenter's workshop. He needed to be able to handle the tools. But perhaps he and his earthly father went out from time to time and worked on site. Maybe they put up some rafters or roof trusses or whatever, and a certain amount of physical strength, of course, was required for that. It was also important that Jesus grew strong physically because he had an important earthly ministry to fulfill. When we read the Gospels, we see him walking from place to place. Towards the end of his earthly ministry, we see Jesus being flogged. We see him having to carry his cross. Well, a certain amount of physical strength was required for him to do these things. He must fulfill the task, you see, that God had given to him as a man. But not only did he grow physically, he also grew in wisdom. Verse 52 says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. In verse 40, we read, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom. Where can wisdom be found? Well, the answer is in God, who has revealed his wisdom to us in the scriptures. Jesus spent time then in his early years studying the scriptures, and as he did so, he grew in wisdom. Of course, with respect to his divine nature, he knew all things. He was all wise. But with respect to his human nature, he had to learn from his heavenly Father, just as we have to learn from our heavenly Father. And we see him growing in wisdom in this particular account. Here we see Mary and Joseph going to the feast of the Passover, as they did year after year. There were three main Jewish feasts. There was the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of the Passover. All Jewish males were required to attend the three feasts, but because so many Jews lived at a distance from Jerusalem, it was quite common for them to only attend one of the feasts. But due to the fact that Joseph and Mary were really quite a spiritual couple, we might say a pious couple, they went together and they took their son Jesus with them. It would probably have been quite a long journey to Jerusalem from Nazareth, especially if they travelled via or avoiding Samaria. And it would have taken several days to get there. I think Mary and Joseph are a wonderful example to Christian couples. Why do I say that? Well, because it would seem that they encouraged one another in the things of God. Together they honoured spiritual ordinances. And I would take a moment this morning to encourage Christian couples to read the Bible together and to pray together and to attend church together and to be involved in some kind of Christian ministry together and to be careful that we don't put obstacles in our partner's way. We want to encourage one another in our growth and maturity as Christian believers. I think Mary and Joseph also provide a lovely example to Christian parents by their taking of Jesus to what amounted to a 7-day festival. Now, I don't suppose I can say that Jesus would have been bored by these 7 days of feasting. But I imagine that there were lots of boys and girls that were terribly bored by these 7 days of festival. But I would suggest that the burden of seeing our children taught about the things of God, the burden of seeing our children learning to do the right things before God, should amount to a greater burden than any worries we might have about them being bored. Well, after the feast, we see that Mary and Joseph began to return home. And for some time they were completely oblivious to the fact that Jesus had stayed behind in Jerusalem. In fact, they travelled for a whole day before they realised
that their son wasn't with them. Are you surprised by this? Are you alarmed by this? I don't think we should be surprised by this, because they would most likely have travelled as part of a large caravan. They would most likely have travelled with lots of relatives and friends. Sometimes whole villages travelled together. And usually the men travelled at the rear of the caravan, whilst the women and children made the journey at the front of the caravan. Moreover, Jesus was 12, and it was about the age of 12 or 13 that a boy became a man. And so Jesus could easily have travelled with the men at the back or with Mary and the children at the front. You can see, can't you, how easy it would have been for Joseph to have thought that Jesus was with Mary, and for Mary to have thought that Jesus was with Joseph. You know, you wouldn't believe how many times when I was growing up that children got left behind at the church. Usually because parents came with two cars and they would go home thinking that the children were with the other parent. You wouldn't believe how many people had to return to church in order to pick up their children. Well, they returned to Jerusalem. And then they spent another 3 days looking for Jerusalem. Parents, let me ask you, what state of mind would you be in if you had lost your children for 4 days? I mean, you lose your children in Asda for 10 minutes, and it's major panic time, isn't it? Well, no wonder Mary and Joseph were anxious when they finally found Jesus. Perhaps not surprisingly, in the temple. Verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts. What was he doing? Sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. What was he doing? He was growing in wisdom. He was growing in understanding, and at a remarkable rate. Look at verse 47. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. But it was important, wasn't it, that he did grow in wisdom, because he would have to spend 3 years teaching and instructing the people about the things of God. What a wonderful example Jesus the boy is to children and young people today. I wish they were all still in here so that I could speak to them directly. He wasn't wasting his time idly. He wasn't getting into mischief. He was in the temple of God, learning about God, asking questions about God. If you're still relatively young here this morning, I would encourage you to learn about God as much as you possibly can whilst you're still fit and alert. My mum and dad had an elderly pastor come and preach at their church a few Sundays ago. A preacher, a pastor that they had really benefited from over the years. But they said that he was beginning to show signs of age. He was slowing up a little bit, and he was having to refer to his notes more than he had done in days gone by. Some of the older friends here will reluctantly testify to this, but you don't remember things as well when you get older. When you're young, you're like a sponge. You drink in everything. You're able to remember things so much better. Whilst you're young, it's the time to learn about God. It's the time to ask questions. Don't waste your years. Learn from the Lord Jesus. Secondly, this morning, I want to say something about Jesus' awareness. His awareness. Mary was clearly full of surprise, concern, and reproach when she found Jesus in the temple. Look at verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, and I can imagine my mother saying something similar to me like this, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." An understandably concerned mother. But look at verse 49. Verse 49 is so instructive. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Two things need to be emphasized from Jesus' words. Firstly, at the age of 12, he had an awareness of his unique relationship to his heavenly Father. Later, Jesus would say in John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." Later, he would say, according to Luke chapter 10, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Wonderful, at the age of 12. An awareness that he had this unique relationship with his heavenly Father. There was also an awareness that he must be about his Father's business. There was an awareness that he needed to be in his Father's house, learning about his Father, asking questions, being taught about the scriptures. You see, he had been sent by the Father to do the Father's will. He needed to learn how it needed to be done. At the age of 12, it's wonderful. He was moved by divine compulsion. Look at Jesus' words again. "Didn't you know I had to be. In my Father's house." Some translations use the word must. I must be in my Father's house. You know, as we read the Gospels, we see that this is the way that Jesus talked so often. "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. I must preach. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. I must suffer and die. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Here to do the Father's will. This is why I've come into the world. I must be lifted up on the cross to redeem a people." Do we blame Mary and Joseph for not understanding the words of Jesus? Quite a lot had been revealed to them, hadn't it, up until this particular point. There'd been the messages from the angel. There'd been the word spoken to them by Simeon and Anna, the prophetess. Would we criticize them for the way in which they responded? Verse 50, "But they did not understand what he was saying to them." I don't think we should be too quick to criticize them. Because they were some pretty amazing words, really, weren't they, spoken by the Lord Jesus? And it's clear as time went on, they didn't fully understand all that Jesus had to say and do. But I love the thought that Mary, once again, what does it say? treasured all these things in her heart. Verse 51. I'm so glad that she did that. I'm so glad that she made sure that she dwelt upon these things and therefore presumably remembered well these things because she became a key witness of these things. And if it hadn't been for the fact that she treasured these things in her heart and remembered them, we wouldn't be able to read about these things today. Jesus is the one who came from the Father to do the Father's will. And it's clear that he had a growing awareness of this as he grew older. I've wondered this week how soon Jesus knew that he would have to go to the cross and die. I wonder how old he was when he became aware of that. That's something that you can talk about over lunch today. And then you can come and tell me what you think the answer is. That was his reason for coming, wasn't it? To die upon the cross, to take away the sins of all who believe. I love what Martin Luther writes. Although out of pure grace, God does not impute our sins to us. He nonetheless did not want to do this until complete and ample satisfaction of his law and his righteousness had been made. Since this was impossible for us, God ordained for us in our place one who took upon himself all the punishment we deserve. He fulfilled the law for us. He averted the judgment of God from us and appeased God's wrath. Grace, therefore, costs us nothing, but it cost another much to get it for us. Grace was purchased with an incalculable, infinite treasure. The Son of God himself. Thirdly, this morning I want to talk about his favour. Verse 52, we'll finish with this. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. He grew in favour with men. John the Baptist's life is contrasted with Jesus in these early chapters in Luke's Gospel. And we see that John the Baptist, in his earlier years, lived away from people. He grew up in uninhabited regions. On the other hand, Jesus grew up amongst people. And as he grew up amongst people, he won their favour, and perhaps this isn't surprising, as he was without sin. He must have been the most delightful boy people had ever seen. There must have been something lovely and attractive about a 12-year-old. Can you imagine? Something lovely and attractive about a 12-year-old. Not only did he grow in favour with men, he also grew in favour with God. Now remember, these were difficult times. And Nazareth wasn't a particularly popular place, was it? I mean, could anyone ever expect anything good to come out of Nazareth? And his family, of course, were poor. How do we know that they were poor? Well, look back to verse 24 and you'll see that when Mary and Joseph went to the temple, they offered either a pair of doves or two young pigeons. These were the offerings of the poor. They were difficult, trying circumstances in which Jesus grew up in. But it was not an excuse to fail to grow spiritually. We read that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favour with God. In other words, he brought increasing delight to his heavenly Father as a man, or as a human being. Later in life, his Father would say of him, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." You know, sometimes our children let us down, don't they? I certainly let my parents down when I was young. Gran, one day, was visiting the home of Tom. Tom was only a little boy. But Tom wasn't very well. And so Tom's father said to him, "Look,
Don't tell your grandmother whatever you do that you are unwell, otherwise she will be fussing over you like an old hen all afternoon. Well, it came to the time of dinner, and Gran noticed that little Tom wasn't feeling too well. "Is everything all right, Tom?" she said. "I'm not allowed to tell you, Gran," he said. "Because if I do tell you that I'm unwell, you'll be fussing over me all afternoon like an old hen." Even the best of children actually can let their parents down. I remember a couple from many, many years ago, and you won't know them, so I can tell the story, who did kind of give the impression that they thought that their children were the most amazing children ever. And they boasted about how they had become Christians and how they were serving in the church and so on and so forth. And then one day, one of the children let them down big style. Their son left his wife and children and went off with another woman. And it proved incredibly embarrassing for them. Children have a tendency at some point or another to let their parents down. But Jesus never let his parents down. Not once. Indeed, there was never a moment when his heavenly Father did not delight in him. He was obedient to his heavenly Father, even unto death. And even as we sit here this morning, the Father continues to delight in his Son, and he will delight in his Son for all eternity. I want to pick up on that thought and finish by saying something that is really wonderful. Really wonderful. If we have put our trust in Jesus Christ, the New Testament says that we are now in him. That's the expression that's used time and time again. We are in Christ. This means that when our Heavenly Father looks upon us, what he sees is not our sin, but Jesus. He sees the obedience of his only begotten Son. This means that he looks upon us continually with favor. He looks upon us just as he looks upon Jesus. Do you have a parent for whom you were never good enough? Friends in Christ, you are good enough for your Heavenly Father. Indeed, in Christ, he not only accepts you, he delights in you. You are a success. You've passed every test. You've passed every exam. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Do you feel as if you are constantly failing your Heavenly Father? Yes, I do. And I'm sure that you do too. Remember, in Christ, you have never failed. Do you feel that you haven't loved and served your Heavenly Father well enough? Friends, in Christ, you have loved him and you have served him to absolute perfection. Day by day, we need to remind ourselves that we are to be found in Christ if we've trusted in him as our Lord and Savior. God the Father delighted in the Son. And if we're a Christian here this morning, we're in Christ. And therefore he delights in us too. That's worth remembering all week, isn't it? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to look at something of the early life of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that he may be our example. But we also want to thank you that he is our righteousness. perhaps more than anything else, we want to thank you that in him we can receive your favour. In him we can stand before you, accepted and delighted in. Thank you, Lord. Hear our prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, shall we, and sing.